This is the Muscles and Management Podcast, where we build your body and your business. Talking all things training, sports performance, and business for athletes and aspiring coaches to enhance your training and better your career. Muscles and Management is brought to you by Challenger Strength with your host, Jerry DeFilippo.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 31 of the Muscles and Management Podcast, here with Jerry DeFilippo. Before we get started, just a couple things. As always, if you could rate, review, and if you don't already, subscribe. If you're enjoying the episodes, enjoying the podcast, that would be huge. Just been getting some awesome ratings and reviews, and also pretty cool to see the subscriber numbers. And the reason I know about the subscriber numbers is just because I've been posting the episodes at midnight on Tuesday, so basically Wednesday morning, midnight, and I'll publish them. And by like 10 a.m. the next day, I sometimes almost have 100 downloads already, and I haven't even posted it to Twitter, Instagram, or anything. So it's really cool to see that, like, there's an audience basically, you know, right off the bat, and I don't even have to post about it yet. And, like, people are just getting it to their phone, or they know when the time of the show is and when it's released. So it's been a super important thing to me to get this on a consistent schedule. So we're going on like 6 or 7 weeks now of Wednesdays at the same time. So, like, I'm just going to keep on going with that so you guys know when to expect it. I think that's huge. So, again, ratings, reviews, and subscribe, obviously, if you want immediate alerts or notifications about the show. Shout out to you guys. Thank you. We hit 60. We have 61 now, exactly. 5-star reviews. So thank you for that. Some awesome ratings. Some awesome reviews have been left recently. I want to kind of just shout out those and give those a read. And thank you to those who left them. So let me pull those up. All right. So my phone is spazzing out here. All right. There we go. All right. So first up, I'm going to read the last three. The subject is totally hooked. Mike N42. As a former minor league pitcher, having spent 8 years as a D1 coach, I'm really enjoying how approachable and informative this podcast is. Because of Jerry's podcast and Twitter account, I have a much more solid understanding about the foundations of quality movement and strength and how it applies to the field. Thank you. Keep up the great work. Thank you. I appreciate you listening, and I'm happy to hear that you're enjoying it. So thanks for that review. We have another review left. I actually answered this gentleman's question last week. Son of God, I've been listening to this podcast since episode 1, and it's been very informative. The content that's available on each episode is very helpful to parents, athletes, business owners, and more. Jerry's a professional and gives the listeners what they want to hear and releases new episodes weekly. I recommend this podcast as most people can learn a few things from it. Look forward to the next episode. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Look forward to answering more of your questions and helping you and your son out on his baseball journey. And then Scotty Rich 13, labeled, this is awesome to see, kind of like, you know, put a smile on my face when I saw it, best up-and-coming SNC podcast. I've been following Jerry on social media for quite some time and hopped on the podcast right away. This podcast provides very informative information that is easy to understand and apply. I have learned so much from this podcast, and I think it's a great resource for young strength coaches out there. It has helped me tremendously. I appreciate you, Jerry. I appreciate you for listening, and I'm happy that I've helped in even the smallest way. So thank you for that. Speaking of which, I already alluded to one of the previous reviews, and I answered their question in the last episode. You know, the Q&A episode was a gigantic success, so if you haven't listened to that, give it a go. I think I answered 8 questions, and they were, you know, business, strength training, different areas of strength training, velocity-based, my thoughts on CrossFit, just a lot there, and that's killing it with downloads. You guys are loving that one, so check it out if you haven't, and thank you for your questions. Really excited, 2 future episodes coming up that I will be recording on Friday, one at 9 a.m. and one at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so busy day for me, but just some great guys that I'm going to be talking to that day. So, you know, super, super excited for that. I have the tandem of Steven Oster, Kyle Rogers, and Terry Phillips coming on. And they're going to talk about, you know, some things individually that they're doing and things that they do with their athletes. But also, you know, getting into their venture, baseball health professionals, and, you know, their attempt to, and, you know, I won't even say attempt because they're succeeding at it, their attempt to get you know, quality professionals in the realm of strength conditioning, rehabilitation, things of that nature, and have a database available for parents and players to, you know, be able to go on and find those quality people in their area. So shout out to them. We're going to talk all about that. And then I have Joseph Potts of Top Speed in Kansas City. Just an awesome, very smart guy that's doing some great stuff. He works with some high-level athletes. And I'm going to talk to him about all things strength and speed training and some of the showcase slash combine stuff that he has coming up. So really pumped up about those. And I'll be hopping on with them this coming Friday. As always, comment, DM me questions or feedback on the pod, please. It's, you know, what makes this show successful is knowing, you know, how I can improve it and make it better and give you more of what you like. So without further ado, a little intro on our guest today, Michael Richards. Michael is the owner and operator of Elite Athletic Performance in Benton, Arkansas. In the time that he's had his facility, especially since the year 2012, he's had 115 scholarships and professional contracts signed by his athletes. And he's been training athletes in 2001. He has built 5 private locations since 2012 and had over a 700% client growth since that time. And currently resides in an 8,000 square foot facility. So this is going to be a great guy to just, you know, pick his brain on some of the things he's had success with in building a business, especially a training business in the private sector. So take out your notepads and you know, or your phones or whatever, and take some notes down, because there could be some nuggets in this one for sure. And I think there'll be some big things that you guys can take away with this, you know, with this conversation. If you're interested in getting in the private sector, if you're interested in coaching athletes, just learning how the in and outs of business and all those things work, and just business in general, because, you know, running a business, whether it's training or whatever service you're providing, not much changes in the ins and outs of the business as itself. So, you know, I hope you guys enjoy this one. I'm looking forward to it. You know, as I said, give me that feedback and, you know, enjoy the interview. All right, everyone, welcoming on Michael Richards. Mike, thanks so much for coming on. I appreciate your time. Excited to talk to you.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on.
So, you know, in the time that we've connected on, you know, Instagram and Twitter, I've had a chance to, you know, learn a little bit about you and take a look at what you're doing out in Arkansas. And, you know, I've just been excited to get you on in the business sense of things, especially because, you know, it's been a little while since I've had a business-centered episode. And, you know, right away after we started talking and you were sharing about your background, I figured that was a good direction for us to go in. So, I guess right off the bat, my first question for you would be, you know, what first inspired you to, you know, want to train, you know, general fitness clients and athletes? And, you know, was it just trying to avoid a desk and office job? Like, what kind of led you down that road?
Well, you know, like it's, basically what it started out, I was an overweight kid, I guess you could say. And, I played sports and everything. I wasn't like I was, you know, clinically obese or anything, but I struggled with my weight. And, I kind of honed it in, I guess you would say, my junior year of high school. And, you know, I kind of put my sights on becoming a personal trainer one day. And, you know, whenever I was finished playing ball and, you know, I kind of messed up some opportunities to play collegiate baseball, you know, on my own, by my own fault, and kind of got an early start on this stuff. And so I was basically training, you know, at that point in time, this is 1997, 1998-ish, and 2000, right around in there. And there, these places, performance training facilities like ours didn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if you were going to do anything in this field, you basically, you know, you were going to be a personal trainer. And, you know, I figured out really quick that it just didn't, it just wasn't exactly my jam I felt like I was working too much towards aesthetics, you know, kind of bodybuilding type goals. And that just really wasn't passion. I just didn't feel it, you know, it just wasn't working for me. And
it was the same for me as well.
Yeah, it's too much babysitting, and, you know, you got to be on people's diets so much, and it's just, that is just so much minutia that just drives me absolutely crazy. And, there were clients from back at that, it was however many years ago, and there's some clients that I still to this day keep in touch with, and, you know, I made some really good, so I don't want to make it sound like I absolutely hated it, but it definitely wasn't my end goal job. And, So I started doing basically lessons with my clients' kids. It started out like that, and coaching little league teams, stuff like that, and did some little, you know, just kind of volunteering time and things like that while, and then playing ball and basically this with us in a, playing semi-pro baseball is what it's called. I call it bush league ball, but you know, and we were, I was playing that, and at the time trying to at least tell myself that I was still trying to break in and maybe get an indie contract or something like that. But so anyways, I at this place, this gym I was training out of in a town about 30 minutes away from where I'm at now, there was a guy that, that I knew just as a regular that worked out in there. His son was on a football team there locally. And I basically, somehow or another, we got a meeting with the coach. I can't even remember exactly how it happened. It's kind of, it's crazy looking back how it happened now. You know, at the time, I didn't really think anything of it. But basically, I designed the off-season and the in-season lifting program for this, for this team, and gave it to him, and I told the guy, the coach, I was like, coach, if it's junk, just throw it away, and I get it, it's okay, you know. And he was kind enough to, because I mean, there are some coaches that absolutely would not talk to you about that, you know. To this day, there's some that just, they're just not into that, they don't want help from people. And he was kind enough to, you know, at least take a look at it. And later on, I just got feedback that, you know, he told me like, this is gold, this was huge for us. And you know, a light bulb kind of popped, and it kind of sent me down that path. And which is, it's funny that a football team actually, you know, I mean, I played football, you know, early on, but baseball was always the focus. And, you know, so it's kind of funny that, you know, a football team actually is what really kind of started all this. And then fast forward, you know, a few years there, and kids started kind of growing up, and I actually took a little bit of a hiatus from training, to try out another field for about 3 years. And it was very apparent that that was not for me. And here we are. So, it's just a, it's been a long, you know, a lot of, like I said, a lot of lessons learned, but it's somehow or another, we've made it, made good of it.
So. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm sure there's a lot of people that can, you know, attest to the fact that how you sometimes get into it, you know, doesn't really sound like it makes sense at the end of it, right? Like, mm-hmm. you look back and you're like, I don't understand. Like, I, you know, like you said, you're a baseball guy more so, and you know, it started out with a football team.
Right.
So it's just interesting. And then you said, like, you bounced to another field and you tried it, and then it just like kind of showed you that you, you know, this is what you were cut out for. You know, obviously, you know, 20 years ago, things were a lot different. Than they are now in terms of, you know, social media and you know, free content and all of that stuff. But what was it like, you know, back then in terms of getting a business off the ground? You know, just seeing that the culture online and things weren't the way they are with technology like they are now.
I don't know how people did it before that. Honestly, I can't. I remember when Facebook came out and I was like, this is a personal trainer. This is made for personal training and private strength coaching facilities. I mean, I really felt that way. I was like, this is, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, this is the best tool that has ever been invented for this type of stuff. Because beforehand, I mean, getting word out and getting people, especially back then before like group training became popular, finding people that were willing to pay the amount of money you needed. Cause I mean, it was just one-on-one sessions. I mean, group training, if you did a group training session in 1998, it was an aerobics class.
Yeah. No one did. Yeah.
And right. It was crazy. And so, that was, you know, like, I remember when I saw that, you know, and back then, you know, I was spending money when I was, you know, trying to get word out. I had t-shirts and, you do all this print advertising and
like looking newspaper, back now, right?
Print. Yeah. Print advertising is practically useless even then for this type of business. The only thing that works is word of mouth. And fortunately it's the best type of advertising, but it's really the only one that works. You know, it's a very unique business. You know, if you don't have people singing your praises, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be in business long. And the only way you get people singing your praises is to give them results, you know?
For sure. Absolutely.
So it's, you know, and it's just, to answer that question, you know, I mean, like, honestly, it's, it, I never was that great at it. You know, honestly, if Facebook hadn't come along, I don't know what I'd probably be selling insurance or something now, or waiting tables or something. I don't know. But I just got lucky. And you know, my age and everything, it was, I had been going at it for a long time. And then when I saw Facebook, it was just like, oh, sweet. You know, yeah. Like, this is awesome. You know, and then the social media, I took to it pretty quick. I'm not wild about actually doing it, but I saw the value of it immediately. I honestly don't like it at all, but Twitter's kind of entertaining sometimes. But
oh my God, yeah.
You know, I've got, like, especially, like, I'm down here in Arkansas, you know, like, football is, like, practically a religion, you know, and, like, when there's a coaching change or something, you know.
And being in North Jersey, I can kind of relate somewhat. There's, like, one of the best conferences in, like, the country over here, the Big North. You know, these 4, 5, 6 teams that are, you know, in the top 20 in the country every year. It's literally, like you said, it's interesting. it's like, you know, they treat it like it's pro football.
Yeah, it is. It's so funny to see fans going back and forth at each other and all that stuff. It's just so entertaining, you know, and you know, everybody kind of making fun of each other, you know, sometimes playfully, sometimes not so playfully, you know, and it's just, it's crazy to watch. It's like watching a train wreck, you know. I can't really, I don't ever comment on it, but I'm just, man, it's so entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay. So you brought up a really good point about the print advertising, right? And I'm sure you would agree with this, but in today's day and age, and I've had a lot of success with this on Twitter, you know, like you said, it was pretty much useless with the print, right? And I think a big part of that would have to just be because, like, you couldn't look at that print ad that said, you know, come to my gym and train with me and, like, click on it and then see videos of what was going on. Like, you have no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, like...
Yeah.
So that was, like you said, it was useless. Unless you literally put an ad in the paper, like, with a chart of vertical jump scores or something, like, what would a person really have to go off of to see if you were, you know, worth the time or the money?
Yeah, it's, I don't, you know, look, if I had to go back and do it, you know, looking, knowing what I know now, you know, you have to get your message out there. Like, testimonials would be the only way you could do it. Mm-hmm. You know, because especially in personal training, if you were doing general fitness type things where your adults, you know, your adults are your target market, which I joke with people. I'm like, I don't train adult humans ever. You know, I'm done with that other than professionals. Like, I, you know, that is, it's worse than babysitting kids, you know, like adult general pop workouts are just, you know, because if they just decide they don't want to work out anymore, you're out of a client, you know? And
yeah,
you know, they don't really have a goal or anything, but like,
that's very true.
Even, you know, knowing what I know now, you know, like you have to get, you know, they have to see your advertisement so many times before they'll ever act on it. And, you know, like, I remember hearing back before social media is what it is now, like a, you know, it was, I don't even know who did the study, but basically an advertisement study to where basically a potential client had to be exposed to your logo like 9 times before they would act on it.
That's crazy.
I think I heard Eric Cressy say one time that he was hypothesizing basically that, you know, with social media, that number is probably way higher now, you know, because people get desensitized to stuff, things like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I totally agree, you know, so, and then I've noticed that it's the same way with kids and athletes, because, you know, up until a certain point, the parent is making the purchase decision. And so, you have parents, I've noticed that when they contact us, they're like, well, I've been following, they almost always say this, we've been following you for a long time.
Yeah, I get the same thing. Yep.
Yes. And they aren't just willing to jump in there and trust you, you know, and I get that. They don't need to be, you know, so you have to show them, like, you know, I care about your kid and I care about their results. And, you know, like, the one thing I really, you know, I hear a lot of bad people kind of complain about social media and stuff, which I'm not a complainer. I just deal with what I have. You know, but like, you have to be very genuine. People will sniff you out very quickly if you're not. And I really love that about social media because I am genuine. And so it's easy for me to do. And so, you know, like people's BS meters are very sensitive and social media allows for that. You know, you're not gonna fool people, you know? And so, that it's just a really, you know, that it's just a really unique and interesting dynamic with this whole, the way this thing works. You know, like, you've got to show people over time, you know, you've got to keep plugging away. It's kind of like a training program, you know, that you're not going to put out that one advertisement necessarily that's just going to bring everybody in. You're, even though videos are cool and all that, like, you just got to keep putting that content out there and showing them, like, hey, we do good work and our kids love it here, our athletes love it here. You know, our college athletes, when they get home from on Christmas break, they go see their parents and they immediately come here.
Yeah.
You know, and like that is the type of stuff that, you know, you've got to figure out ways, and I'm horrible about this, to showcase it, you know, about taking group pictures and stuff like that, you know, just to show people that it's not fake, it's not forged or anything like that. I mean, it's a family atmosphere, and, you know,
that's a really good point.
The type of stuff that, you know, that's the type of stuff you can, you just, you know, you've got to let people see that you don't, you know, if you really care, it'll be easy to get that feeling,
for sure.
you know, going on up there. And if not, you know, one picture and then, you know, others, they hear other things about you, like, they'll sniff you out real quick.
Yeah, no, I actually, two episodes ago, I had a guest on, and she is a trainer in Baltimore. And, basically just, we kind of had a conversation about how these people that have, you know, 100,000 followers. And we later on, after we were done, and, you know, with the interview, we named names. I wasn't trying to do that to anybody, but,
right.
You know, she actually personally met a guy, and it's not like he's a bad guy. He's a very, like, awesome, you know, person and a, you know, very knowledgeable trainer, but, you know, he had over 500,000 followers on Instagram, and his page though was just like very manufactured looking. Like, it was the same prompts, you know, valuable info in it, but like, you know, the same type of structure to every post. Like, his page looked identical if you scroll through it. It wasn't like, you know, a video of a kid working and then a video of a group of kids or whatever it was. It was just very like, robotic. So very much so, picking off of what you were saying, like, it's important for that people to see, like, that family atmosphere, that there's like real life stuff going on. You're not just putting stuff out. You're working and doing it with people.
Right. Yeah, it is. I mean, and that, you know, I laugh about, playfully laugh, but, you know, I'm always like, when I see these kids that are on Instagram, they're obviously, I joke with the kids coming here, I'm like, y'all are all Instagram models now, and I'm just messing with them. But, you know, I'm like, do y'all really think that picture that you took, like, did you realize that the camera was on you or what? You know, because every one of them take a picture and they're looking away from the camera now, and it's kind of a posed, you know, it's like every one of them carry around their own paparazzi or whatever, you know, like, it just, it's crazy to me. But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Those, there are, you know, you've got to have a certain amount of production or the video is not going to be watchable, you know? But at the same time, it has to be somewhat genuine, you know, which I've figured out, luckily, how to use some apps. And I had a professional video done not too long ago that turned out really, really well. And that type of stuff that really showcased what we do. But, you know, like you said, it can't all be robotic, you know.
Yes.
You got to show them the downfalls and, you know, stuff like that too, just see the backside story of everything.
And that you're just doing it with people, not just posting videos to yourself to an extra. Like, who are you working with? Who have you gotten results with? Yeah. Like, it's important.
That's a good way to put it, because, I mean, it's like, you know, who knows that if you know, just you're a good salesman, but, you know, like, you never see him with anybody, you know, like, I hadn't even put that together. I thought about it before, but yeah, like, I didn't
until she said it either. Exactly, dawned on me.
You're just a great photographer and a great, you know, like, a salesman, but like, you don't really have any clients. So
yeah, like, you make a pretty Instagram post and they look all organized.
Yeah.
Everything's like colorful and whatever, but like, it's literally just always you and you're explaining something. Like, who do you work with?
Right. Yeah. We always joke, you know, like, how many D1s you got, you know, like, what's your resume look like?
Funny. And it's like, you know, to an extent, like, that'll come, but like, after a while, like, you don't want to base everything off that, but after a while, if you don't see a guy, like, you know, having some kids commit or kids that have been working with him for a while, one, it shows maybe they don't, you know, they're not putting the best product out there for the kids, but maybe like they're not attracting, you know, yep. And I hate to say that because there are some ridiculous trainers that get pro athletes, and like there's obviously like an exception to everything, but
right.
In a grander scheme of things, like, are they getting any kind of kids that have potential? Like, are kids seeing a reason to work with them? Like, it's some of that's important.
Yes, it very much is. And, you know, there is a fine line, and this is actually one of my struggles. Without delving too far into it, probably about 5 years ago, there was a relatively high level athlete around here, and that I had worked with, and I felt like there were some family members that were accusing me of maybe piggybacking on his success a little bit, mm-hmm. which, you know, I for a long time I wouldn't post about our athletes, and I was just like, I don't need his success or yours or anybody else. You know, I'm kind of stubborn. Like, I was just like, okay, I won't do it. You know, I'll show y'all. And, you know, and so then after about 3 or 4 years, like, you know, all right, we have a lot of kids that signed, and, you know, they're like, so why don't you ever post, you know? And then it's dawned on me, like, kids want that stuff. They like that stuff. You know, at first I was kind of like, well, you know, it kind of seems self-centered, you know? I was like, I don't want to feel like, you know, the strength coach version of an ambulance chaser, you know, that chases around signing day so I can get my picture taken and put it up, you know. But then, like, you know, the kids, they like that stuff. And then, you know, the parents really like that stuff. And, you know, there's definitely some value to it. And then on top of that, I have a lot of friends that are scouts and college coaches, and they deserve to be showcased. And, you know, their coach is looking for players. And, you know, so like when we have a kid that pops a 9 or a 90 mile an hour, you know, pull down or something like that, it deserves to go on social media and, you know, to showcase. And that's just the world we live in, you know, and I struggled with that, and I'm getting better about it, you know, instead of learning what to say, and instead of just being like, you know, Joe Schmedley, 90 mile an hour fastball, you know, like, yeah, congratulations to, you know, and how to word it and stuff like that. It's just,
it's an art for sure.
You know? Yes, it's an art. It is an art. That's exactly what it is. And so, but I'm getting better at it. But that's definitely something that I've struggled with. You know, because my wife has joked that I'm kind of over sensitive to, you know, if I feel like somebody has seen me in a negative light, my pendulum will swing so far to the other side to prove them wrong that I wasn't on purpose being something that I don't want to be.
Relate to that.
You know, I will go so far. Yeah, I will go so far the other way
to overcompensate.
I will actually
cause
detriment to myself. Yes, I'll cause detriment to myself just to prove a point. And she
cut off your nose to spite your face, type of thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, you mentioned that, you know, people could sniff out the BS, right? And I think it works the same way, you know, mentioning, you know, shouting out kids for commitments and signing and everything like that. But people can sniff that out too. If they see the kid, you know, on your page day in and day out for a year and a half, and then he commits and you talk about it, they're going to be like, that's fantastic. If they see, they've never seen the kid work with you before, and you're, you know, tweeting or Instagramming his commitment, they're like, what's this guy doing?
Yep. That's exactly right. I've thought about that a lot, you know, like, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that kid worked out there, you know, or whatever. But, you know, I in the past, when I was kind of dealing with all of this, there had been several times that I was like, you know, when I posted stuff, I've been like, crap, I hope I had mentioned that this guy had worked out with us, you know, for the last 2 years, you know, because I didn't want it to be, you know, I'm here now that I've gotten better about going to signing days and stuff like that, you know, I'm like, well, I hope people knew that. Now that he is going to a D1 school, I hope people knew that, you know, I've been pretty good about that. I'm pretty good about posting day-to-day stuff, especially on Instagram story. That just for some reason kind of comes naturally to me, just being like, because I can kind of joke around and it's not produced, you know, it's just live, whatever's happening. It's more of the, like, posts, you know, the Instagram posts. And, you know, I have very severe ADD. And so that plays well for me is the little short, you know, that's why Twitter works for me pretty well. You know, it's just short little bursts. I can't sit still long enough to do a blog post. how I ever got a book published, written and published. I'll never really honestly, I don't even know how I did that, honestly, but that, you know, it's hard for me to even do a blog post. So, you know, but that's, that kind of plays in. But then like the actual, when there actually is something to post and talk about, it is harder for me to figure out the right things to say and stuff like that. So, you know, we're getting there.
No, for sure. So kind of shifting gears a bit, you know, obviously this has all been business related and social media and everything like that, but like talking, you know, the brick and mortar, the actual location part of things. And I think something that I wanted to touch on with you, you know, you being somebody that has a big facility and that it's gotten to that point, you know, some of that type of stuff, but in your mind, you know, what is the importance of keeping overhead and for those listening, overhead meaning like expenses and, you know, your bills every month and things of that nature. What is the importance of keeping that low, when you're a new business owner in the private sector?
Honestly, I think it's probably, if it's not number one, it's 1A. Mm-hmm. You can't, I've seen people do this and I pay attention to all kinds of different businesses and just, I honestly feel like I kind of learn better from businesses that aren't in this field.
Okay.
And my dad has a construction company, excavation company, and you'll see, he's been doing this. He's never, you know, we joke that neither one of us have ever had a real job, you know, like he's been in this business his whole life. He's owned it, you know, been a sole proprietor, and I've never really had a real job other than working for him in high school and stuff. So, you know, but you'll see these new up and coming, you know, like excavation companies, and they'll have, you know, a bulldozer costs like $500,000, you know, and you can kind of relate to that if you've ever tried to open up a strength conditioning facility, because like, you know, you're literally buying by the pound on a lot of stuff, and that stuff is expensive.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see these big flashy companies open up and they've got, you know, $5,000 worth of payment due to the bank every month before they have a client. And you can't do that, you know, like, or I can't do that.
You really can't do it even when you have clients. Like, you're not going to get any money.
You can't, you know, so I mean, like, I literally, the first weight I ever owned that, you know, once I moved away from just like paying a fee into a gym, basically, the first weight I owned was legs cut off of old blue jeans filled with sand. And that's what I trained my athletes with. And I would use those, and I actually used them. They doubled. I was actually running boot camp, general fitness boot camps, to help keep the bills paid. And I would use those. Obviously, we would throw them around and all that stuff. And it, at that point in time, this is right around 2012. And yeah, that was so different. You know, it was a big hit with everybody. And, you know, because it was before med balls. I mean, you know, medicine balls were around, but they weren't the type that you could really throw and slam and all that, you know. So, like, you know, doing that was just so new. It was a big deal, you know. But that was the first resistance, you know, tool that I owned was, they looked like huge blue Tootsie Rolls, and they were filled with sand. And I felt like a Pablo Escobar, like filling them full of cocaine or something, because you're packing them with, you have to pack them like two or three times in Ziploc bags and then wrap them up in duct tape when you're packing that in there, because the sand will bust and come out. You have to like pack it like three or four times. So it felt like a drug smuggler putting this sand in, you know, like inside of and then tying them up. It was really like, my wife was like, really, this is crazy. You know, like when we were building them, you know, but that's
but it saved you money.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then, you know, and you just work your way up, and I had, the way that it kind of really started taking off was in 2011, I had worked up to where I built a decent clientele of athletes, you know, high school athletes, things like that. And I was going to basically a 10 fitness at, I would strength train them there and then basically go to this, one of the two baseball parks around town here in our town, and hope the lights were on somewhere, so I could, you know, if we needed to do any field work or hit or throw or whatever. And I actually ran into a guy that was played football at the University of Arkansas here. And he and I basically became roommates on a place. And we opened up a place and it really took off, and he was kind of the football, the speed guy, and I was kind of the strength and the baseball guy. And we started that out, and it just took off like wildfire, because there wasn't any place like that around. And you know, there was a D1, you know, the corporate D, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with D1. That's an actual bit, you know, like a corporate business that is trains people, but they have a very different structure than what we were doing. And he did a lot of speed and agility type stuff. And
it's like a Parisi almost.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have those? Are those out in your area?
We do. Okay. Yeah, we do. There's a couple of them around, and
through my enemy.
I haven't really heard, you know, yeah, but anyway.
just in the sense of like having to battle kids on like why the, you know, 11-year-old just running around cones for 3 hours and not actually picking up a weight isn't the most beneficial thing for them. But anyway, not to get on a tangent, but I hear what you're saying on that. You were different in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were doing things the right way. And you know, whenever we split up, I mean, me and this, I won't say his name, but he and I were, we definitely weren't going to lunch or anything, but we never were like at each other's throat. We kind of outgrew each other. We have different models, and he was a little bit more speed and agility-ish. You know, he was a wide receiver, and he was a very good wide receiver. And he and I have different models. And you know, if we ran into each other now, everything would be cool. You know,
you need to blend, like, really. You can't be one-sided. I'm sure you'd agree with that.
You have to be. And that was where I saw, honest to God, I owe some of this to him, because we did. We had different models, but I had people coming up that worked out with him, and they were saying, I want to get in the weight room with you. And, you know, sometimes if you'll pay attention, the customer will tell you exactly what they want to buy from you, you know, if you aren't offering it, because they're asking for it. And so instead of, I've noticed a lot of people get upset when, you know, like, they're like, well, you know, it's almost like people get mad at the customer for not buying from them. I'm like, dude, it's their money. You know, like,
maybe you're not giving them what they want to buy.
You have to evolve. Yeah, you have to evolve. And so I could see, I mean, the market was screaming, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, step on any, you know, I you know, we just didn't, it won't work. If there is one rule that anybody going into this business needs to listen to me on, it's this: it's fine to get into a business where you and somebody else both, like, his clients paid him, my clients paid me. And that is a very good structure when you're first starting out. But once you both get big, and we had both kind of, you know, locally had kind of built a really strong brand, that will not work anymore, because you're going to have a bunch of crossover, and there's going to be people that want to do work out with both of you. And it's a nightmare. And
it's not organized. It's not organized either.
It's not. It looks bad. It just doesn't work. And either way, one of you is going to feel like you're getting screwed. Yeah. And it's just not. It just doesn't work. And so, anyways, I moved out in 2000. We had built. He and I started in a place that I'm talking about. This was the biggest, just crap hole. That you, like, there were rats there as big as my dog, bro.
Like small place, too.
It was not small, but it was an old old building. And like, I'm talking about, dude, there were rats, huge, like, this place was nasty. It was bad.
You could,
like,
start lifting with the rats.
Yes. Like, there were some that looked like they'd been lifting for a while. And, they, you know, but we grew, and, you know, we're both like, we got something here, because this place is bad, you know,
and you're still drawing people.
Growing and growing. Yes, and we're growing and growing. And so, like, then we move into a different place. We grew, we moved a little bit, probably a couple miles away, and got a little bit bigger, a little bit nicer. It wasn't that much bigger, but it was nicer. And
to me, I don't want to cut you off. Let me ask you, I have to ask an important question, because I don't want to move away from this. But, like, you just said you moved from this small facility, or this, like, not-so-nice facility, right? And I started this with the overhead question. Give the listeners, anybody who's listening who wants to go into the business, wants to be a coach, whatever, in the private sector, even with any business, how important was it to maximize what you could out of that facility that had low overhead and cost before you moved? Because I feel like so many people try to move too fast.
Absolutely. It was everything. And like I said, we had very, very meager, you know, it was, we had two half racks basically, and we had one set of bumper plates, we had two barbells, and you know, the rest of it was, you know, like I said, those sandbags. And I think what a lot of people and coaches are, there's a reason they're good coaches, but I say sometimes you have to be 51% business owner and 49% coach.
Yes.
You have to understand that sometimes, like, I know the training program is not hitting every single efficiency that it possibly could. And I understand that it needs to, but you can't go get yourself in debt just to make sure that everything is hit perfectly. What you have to remember is it, you know, when, especially when training athletes of teenage and all that, whatever you're doing is so much better than anything else they would be doing.
Yes.
You know, even your worst is probably better than anything they would get anywhere else. If you're that conscious of your training program,
if you just have attention to detail, you're better than 75% of what they could get.
Yes. Yes. And if you go out and get yourself in debt, you're going to put yourself out of business and you're not going to be able to help anybody.
Yep. Anymore.
So you need to make do with what you don't want to water down, you know, but you need to make do with what you've got and struggle through that. And then it makes you appreciate things. So, you know, like I've been in business, you know, as a sole proprietor in one way or the other since basically 2001-ish or something like that. I guess you would say I've been in business. I just took out a loan with the bank last year. That's the first time I've had a loan, and that was to build this building. You know, it's just, you just don't want to do that if you can help it at all. You know, Joe DeFranco started literally in a storage closet.
It's one of my heroes. You know?
I love that guy, man.
Being a Jersey guy, he's you know, that was a guy that, you know, I learned from. I have his certification, you know, I'm looking up at it on the wall right now as I speak. So shout out to Joe D you know, Jim Smith, Smitty Diesel.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, no, you're 1000% right. Like even looking at things like as simple as, you know, people feel the need, they have to go out and get like, you know, 3 or 4 hamstring machines, glute ham machines for, you know, 10 grand. Mm-hmm. When it's like, dude, just literally have the kids put their knees on a pad and hold each other and, you know, just do partner Nordic, you know, hamstring curls and you're saving $10,000. It's like,
yep.
They got stronger and they developed their hammies and you didn't, you know, go take a loan out or finance equipment and you're not out of business.
Yep. That's exactly right. I know somebody personally who has done that and put himself in a lot, like $100,000+ worth of debt. And I mean, it lasted like 6 months and you know, it just, you can't do it. And it's a huge stress on your family and
yep.
You know, you can't do that to yourself. And it's not, and like I said, there's something about bootstrapping a business that just makes you so much better at it. And
yes.
You understand, you can see things like,
fast.
Yeah. And you just, well, yeah, you don't microwave your business. You slow cook it and you learn little things and, you know, you just don't need all of that coming at you right off the bat. You know, I'm fortunately I'm married to an accountant, which is a nightmare mm-hmm. sometimes, but, she, you know, obviously she keeps me as close to the straight and narrow as she possibly can. I still suck at it, but you know, like I didn't need, look, man, the last thing I needed was a bank note, you know, 10, 15 years ago. That is the very last thing. I'm barely handling it now and I'm 39 years old. You know? So you just don't need that type of stress in your life. You need to be a coach that just has some stuff that he trains people with, not a huge business right off the bat.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. It's like, what's the draw? Is it the shiny equipment that like, it looks, you know, it's really novel at first, or is it like the person that's there or the program in place?
Exactly. Because if you put out results, it does not matter what you're training them with.
Yeah.
And
no,
they,
for sure.
They will come. Yep. That's 100%. You know, you've got to put out results. It's kind of tough, but it also weeds out the bad guys real quick because, you know, you got to stay in bit, you know, there is no quick result. We always preach that, but you've got to keep people engaged long enough to get the results of your first few athletes to where you can kind of point that out and be like, see, I do know what I'm doing, you know? And so it's one of those things, but you got to stay in business long enough for that to happen is what I'm getting at, you know?
Yes.
And you go get yourself at $100,000 worth of debt, you're not going to make it very long.
Yeah, so, exactly. So, you know, you're mentioning this other, you know, the other guy that you're working with and you guys go your separate ways. And I'm sure that had, you know, you'd mentioned to me that you went on a transition from, you know, you being more of a baseball guy to now, you know, a place with a baseball focus, but there's other training with other athletes and other like stuff like that. So like, what was that process like, you know, getting to that point where you're not just a baseball place, but you know, athletes in general are coming to you?
Honestly. And you know, I want to, you know, point out that he and I had built this, we were in a 12,000 square foot facility when I left him. And, you know, so I've had the opportunity to bust back to rat holes twice now. And, so when I moved out, I had, like you said, baseball only. I had the focus. I was going to be a baseball only facility, and I moved out and I rented a place that was 3,000. I went from 12,000 square feet to 3,000 square feet, but it was my own 3,000 square feet. And that was a big deal, you know? But what happened very quickly, and I don't think this will sound like, you know, conceited or egotistical or whatever, but I didn't try at all. We train our athletes, our baseball guys, everybody is trained to be as explosive and as powerful as possible, period. That is, you know, there is, as you well know, there is no baseball workout, football workout, you know, like there may be a few things you do differently to take care of their shoulders and things like that. But like there is strength work. There's, you know, like athletes, you build athletes.
Yeah. It's 85-90% of it's the same, and then you make the little adjustments.
It is. Yep, it is. And so we basically, the results started coming in, and volleyball is, I don't know if it is up there, volleyball is taking over the world in the South, it seems like. It's just, it's everywhere, and every girl wants, they're playing it, and they're underserved. And if there is one sport in the world that is like in a strength coach wheelhouse, it's volleyball. Because I mean, if you jump higher and you hit harder, you win. There's like the skill work, you know, I'm not talking bad saying there's not skill work, but I mean, if there is one sport that you can just absolutely change everything, that the weight room is a total game changer for, it's volleyball, you know? And I had like one or two volleyball girls, you know, kind of those, if you've read Malcolm Gladwell's books about, you know, the early adopters, and then you have your middle ground get people, you know, the early adopters kind of noticed that, you know, we were taking kids that were maybe a little goofy and turning them into athletes. And they reached out, and I was like, you know, I'm not gonna turn anybody down, you know, at that point in time, you know, I'm definitely not telling you not to come. I was like, you got to understand going into this that like, there's a certain workout that the baseball kids are going to do. Y'all are all going to lift together, and there'll be a few things they'll do differently. And then they're going to have a whole bunch of other work to do, and it's going to feel like I'm paying more attention to them, but that's what I know. And so y'all got to understand that like, once we get done with the lifting and some, you know, and some, basically some basic ACL protection type stuff, you know, cause that's kind of their Tommy John is, you know, the ACL. And, I was like, if you understand that I'm not necessarily like not paying attention to you, it's just that I have more work that I need.
Yeah. They have to go throw, they have to go do their plyo work, yes. Whatever it is.
Yes. Yes.
And you're not doing that. You're not doing weighted ball throwing with the volleyball players.
Well, you would actually be surprised because I started tinkering with that.
Okay.
Because the second most popular injury with volleyball players is rotator cuff.
Which would make sense.
Yeah. And it was so, again, it's so funny how that works. You know, like I would have never dreamed that we would have such a following in the volleyball community because I don't know anything about volleyball other than the fact that ACLs are the number one most common injury. Because every female that's got little bitty legs that jumps, their knees practically collide and valgus stress and all that. And the second one is rotator cuffs. And I was like, well, rotator cuffs are in my wheelhouse. You know, I know exactly.
Those I know.
Yeah. And so honestly, I have every one of our volleyball girls do reverse throws right alongside the baseball.
That's really cool. I like that.
They're like, hey, they're like, dude, that makes my shoulder feel amazing. And I'm like, yeah, I would imagine so, because they go to school and they hit, and
there's a lot of posterior shoulder work. Yep.
It's a ton. And so I'm like, man, shoulder's a shoulder. And, you know, I'll explain to them, just give them a basic, you know, I'm like, look, your shoulder is basically going inside of your shoulder capsule in there because your rotator cuff's not strong enough to handle that, you know? And so we've got to strengthen your body from the toe to your hairline. But we also need to do a little bit of specific work So I have them do rebounders, you know, like the, you know, the post-throw recovery type stuff.
Yep.
You know, because that's a very similar thing. That ball coming up off the rebound, the trampoline hitting, popping their palm. I mean, that's very similar to striking a volleyball. And then I'll have them do reverse throws. And I mean, we've gotten, you know, it's all anecdotal, but, you know, I feel like we've gotten some really good results because we've made them feel way better than they did, you know. So I consider that success with them, even though I don't have clinical studies to prove it, but, you know.
No, for sure. I mean, listen, but, in a similar sense, you know, I work with a lot of hockey players, you know, baseball and hockey are my two, you know, biggest sports. And I treat a lot of their shoulder work the same way I would treat a base. It's like, obviously I'm not a pitching guy. I you know, kids aren't coming to me and doing, you know, bullpens and throwing and everything. Like I'm strictly strength and speed. And I've been lucky enough to like partner with, you know, people that do that stuff. But, basically what I'm getting at is this, like, you know, the same stuff that I would do, or a lot of the same stuff that I would do for a baseball player and their shoulder, you know, the hockey guys are getting it because they need to be protected from those hits into the boards. And, you know, the AC joint and the, you know, dislocated shoulder is just, it's an epidemic in hockey.
Absolutely. I can totally see that. I know, again, I know nothing about hockey, but I can see that, you know, it's, I've noticed, you know, like you can take two or three things with an athlete, even if you know nothing about the sport, and be like, well, I don't know much, but I know this, you know, and you can make them better, you know, like, so that if there's advice I would give, you know, like, first off, you need to understand that, you know, which anybody listening to this podcast already probably knows this, like, there is no volleyball workout. There is no baseball workout as far as that goes. Now, understand, and I struggle with this very, I'm getting better. Parents are going to contact you and want the volleyball workout. And you can't get pissed off at them for it.
You said
they
explain
don't know
it to
any
them.
Better.
Yeah, you have to just explain why that doesn't exist.
You have to explain it to them, but you have to be sure not to big league them because that will piss them off. You know, some coaches are bad about talking down, and you got to understand. Like, I don't care how my how the electricity works, the air conditioner. Where I just need it fixed.
Yep.
You know, and that's kind of how they are. And so you just, if you want to give, I give them a brief explanation. I'm like, look, you know, they're. We technically offer, you know, they're like, well, when do you start the volleyball workout? So I'm like, well, we always offer that because our volleyball players, much like, you know, every other athlete, they need basic strength. They're not strong enough to control their body. And so we do, and I'll basically throw in, I'm like, we do some very sport specific ACL protection, monster walk type things. And that's their, you know, you got to give a little bit, I guess is what I'm like. Don't be so hard that you're like, well, there is no, you know, just throw in something. You know, I let our kid, we have a 30-minute period in our group workouts every day. And I have our kids swing some weighted bats, the younger guys, you know, like every now and then I'll let them throw like the 8-ounce ball or whatever. I basically look at it like this. I will give our kids what they want if I get what I want. And what I want is for them to get strong. And to be able to take care of themselves, be able to control what they're doing and stay healthy. And then, you know, that sport specific quote unquote portion of the day, you know, where they go hit, the parents love it. They eat it up. I'm like, I could take it or leave it. You know, they hit all the freaking time. In fact, they play year round, you know, they don't need more swings. My God, if they aren't good at swinging now, they're not going to get good. You know, like they swing all the time. So, you know, but I will change it up. I make them hit with tennis rackets. I make them hit with PVC pipes, things like that. But, you know, my point is, you know, just give a little to get what you know, I knew that the volleyball players were not strong enough and they never deadlift. They are constantly doing Vertimax workouts, things like that. And they're not getting what they need. And also they're getting even stronger at putting their knees in valgus stress, things like that. They're putting strength on top of dysfunction. And so I'm like, okay, how can I correct that and make them feel like they're getting what they want? And that's where probably, you know, that probably is where I kind of hit the nail on the head right there, is just kind of being, you know, instead of being hard-nosed militant about certain things, like find things that it's not that I'm not going to compromise and we're not going to be in speed ladders, you know, for the whole world. Like, that's not happening. But, you know, find ways, you know, like I keep plenty of mini bands and I'm like, you know, you monster walk every single day when we're done, period. Don't walk out of here without monster walking, doing your reverse throws and your rebounders. The volleyball girls know that. And you know, that way, and that is their sport specific work, you know, like, and they eat it up, you know, they feel like they're getting something that is specific to their sport. You know, you're kind of catering to that, but it's absolutely no extra time off of my life. You know, it's not like I have to put out this huge different product to satisfy that customer base, you know, if that makes sense. So, there's just a little bit of give and a take there. And so that's probably, you know, that's the best piece of advice I can give. If you're trying to go from one niche to multiple niches, you know, is just find that sweet spot like that.
Yeah. I mean, and like, there's going to be times where there's like a little thing here, a little thing there. You know, just being with a hockey guy, I always like to give hockey examples, but like, you know, my hockey guys are going to work, you know, some of their single leg stuff, maybe be a little different just because of the, you know, motion of skating or something, but like 95% of what they're doing isn't much different than what my football guys are doing. You know, maybe if you look at the sense of like, little things, like I take way more, you know, attention into their shoulder just because of the fact that like in hockey, when you get hit, you know, you're getting pinned up against something in football, unless like it's the ground, which does happen. You know, you're not getting that likelihood of getting smashed into like the boards, let's just say. And right. there's no really, other than a quarterback, the rotational part of, and that's another thing. That's a great example. Like I do rotational work with my baseball and my hockey guys, because in hockey, when you take a shot, you're rotating. So it's like, there's another carryover right there, just out of having a conversation about it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. There's a ton of carryover. And I explain a lot of times to even like, you know, we've got a couple kids that play basketball, and they will do the scoop tosses right alongside the baseball guys, you know, and they don't care. They're good. But I'm like, dude, when you go to change directions, like what part of the problem is that your upper body is still trying to travel the first line of direction, you know, the way you were going.
Yep.
And this type of exercise right here is basically helping you to get yourself shifted. You're planting your foot into the ground and you're changing direction. You know, just because a baseball player is imagining himself swinging a bat while he's doing this exercise, most likely, you know, all you have to do is understand that this is a change of direction drill for you. Yeah. And it's absolutely the same thing. And it's like, I love seeing those light bulbs go off in the kids' eyes when they see what I'm seeing, you know, and they're like, oh, there is carryover here. You know, I'm not just being thrown into a corner and being like, hey, go do what the baseball guys are doing. Like there was thought behind this, you know, and, I really enjoy that because it's simple to do, you know, and you please a customer base, and, you know, that kid is happy and he feels like he's gotten something special, and, you know, it's not any, like I said, it didn't take any extra time. And
yeah, no.
You know, that is one of those sweet spots that you can get.
So let me ask you this, you know, to finish things up here, you know, obviously we're going to have a lot of baseball, you know, big baseball audience listening to this. And I want to cover a couple of things, but, you know, in your opinion, you know, what are some of the immediate benefits, you know, that you've seen or you think that strength training can provide for baseball players and athletes in general, like right off the bat? Like what are some of the things they're going to notice that they're, you know, religiously getting work, you know, in this world of strength training?
You know, in my experience, the strength training, like I've had people note it. They're like, I don't know it seems like awfully quick for him to be getting results, you know, but when you have a lot of times in the baseball community, you won't get this in football. You know, if you were working with football players, they live in the weight room, you know, but baseball players are so underserved in the weight room, even though we have moved past, for the most part, we have moved past the cloud yellers that think baseball players shouldn't lift weights. You know, we've moved past that, but still it's not valued the way it is in football. And I could make a decent argument. I don't think it would win, but that strength training is just as important or more. It's the reason that people understand football, you know, strength training in football scenario is because you see two people combating, you know,
and they're big and they're
big and they're strong and all that, and they're hurling themselves against each other. Baseball is a battle against gravity and inertia. And so you know, and that always wins. And, you know, when you have kids, I always use the example of like a young kid that If you watch them really close when they swing a bat, it's such an easy, beautiful example to use. Watch them real close, and when the ball hits the bat for a nanosecond there, the ball will overtake the bat. And I know you've seen that before. Everybody's yes. been in any little league game, you've seen it before. That is the perfect picture of why strength training is so important with baseball players and why they see such great results really quickly, because A, they're underserved and most of them are weak. So, I mean, I joked with, and one of our most, like, we have a guy that he jokes to this day, and I don't really feel like I was this rude to him, but the first time he came in, I almost killed him. I put him under a bar that I really didn't feel like it was that heavy, and it almost crushed him. He's a big kid. And I told him something along the lines of, look, all you're going to have to do is look at my barbells and you're going to get better. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Because you're so weak. And that was a little over a year ago. He basically sold out to me. He didn't like it, but I asked him very sternly to not play fall ball and do nothing but live at my gym. And he was a 65 mile an hour junk baller, you know, maybe touching 70. And he, in a year's time, went to the ace of their squad, bumping, you know, low 80s. He's left-handed and big and tall with a lot of presentable, you know, with a lot to grow into. They won a state championship, and he's the MVP of the state championship game, you know, in a year's time in the weight room. We threw, you know, we used fly balls and all that stuff, but we mainly focused on making him as strong and agile as possible, you know, and powerful. And he went from a goofy left-handed kid, and he would laugh and agree if he heard me say that, you know, to a very, like, to a bulldog, you know, and it didn't take that long. And that's the benefit, you know, like, there's just the strength portion is so underserved that
any little thing can yield results. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, every single deadlift rep is making them so much better. You know, it's unbelievable. It's a lot of fun, you know, because they're getting so much benefit out of it because they're underserved. You know, they are under, you know, they haven't utilized it. So, you know, their strength levels are so low, you know, they're so far away from their ceiling that, you know, every rep is just giving so much benefit. And, you know, they, like, going back to the example of the kid, you know, like, every movement is a battle against, you know, gravity, inertia, and all that type thing. And, you know, they basically when that ball strikes the bat, you know, if you slow it down in your head, it's like a lightning bolt going through the body looking for weak links, you know. And the more strength we put on an athlete, the less weak links we have. And the ball goes farther, you know, and then all of a sudden the ball starts slicing through the ball or the bat starts, you know, like, really, it doesn't get overtaken by the ball anymore. You know, then you know, and it's the same thing with throwing one, but it's just harder to envision in your head, you know, but that's what I always go back to. And when I have a kid that's not really sold, you know, sold out on the weight room just yet, I'll use that example and be like, look, you know, this is what's going on. And I love you, dog, but you're weak, you know, like, and we have to fix that immediately. And you can go do lessons if you want, but you're wasting your time. And, you know, like, your mechanics are fine. And, you know, I truly believe that you can actually have potential inside, you know, like, if your brain knows how to perform a task, but you're not strong enough to make it happen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can actually unlock performance in the weight room that you didn't even know you were capable of because you didn't have the ability to express it. And so, you know, like, that's, you know, I've seen that or felt like I've seen that a lot with, you know, a lot of our athletes. It's just all of a sudden they move differently and they're totally different athletes, you know? So, you know, it's a simple answer, but you know, that's really what it is. I mean, there's so much benefit in just basic stuff. You don't even have to get crazy with what they're doing. You know, you just make them strong and all of a sudden they turn into different players.
Yeah, no, I mean, like you said, just the return you can get on such basic stuff in that scenario with so many of these athletes, it's just insane. Like, I'm sitting here, like, you know, we need to talk about, you know, what some of these, you know, baseball players should be focusing on right off the bat. And it's like, there's really nothing too complicated. Just get stronger.
It's boring, though. It's boring.
Yeah, it bores them. excites us, but it bores them.
It does, because we know the results, you know, and I actually told a parent last night, I had this conversation. I was like, I said, your son, you know, I don't think I'm letting you in on any secret. He's not as gifted as the a lot of kids that walk through the door here or anywhere else you go. But I can tell him what to do. I can show him what to do. I can give him a program, and I can turn my back and I can walk away, and I can know 100% that he is going to give everything he's got on every single rep, and he's going to complete every single rep, even the boring ones. And he's going to do everything he can because he 100% understands that every single rep is making him closer to being the athlete that he wants to be.
Yep.
And those kids are hard to find. And when you find them, you know, those that's important, because that is the type
of you don't have to hold on to them, because they're going to stay because they love it.
When you
find those kids.
Yeah. They're so bought in to the culture. And
it's just so much fun to work with them.
It is. It is. And the beauty of it is, in this business, the more you do it, if you can just lay down that foundation, get a couple athletes like that and put out good results for them, the culture, you know, you will actually start attracting the exact clients and the kids that are looking for that, and you won't get the bad eggs, you know, like.
Yep. Yes, you'll attract who you want to work with.
Yes, it wasn't long ago that I tell people this all the time. Like 4 years ago, I was leaving the facility pissed off every day because I didn't feel like the kids were getting everything they needed to get done, and I was just me, and I didn't really know how to, you know, I felt like I had provided everything, and honestly, a lot of it was just me being a perfectionist. But at the same time, over time, what I didn't realize is, as you build a culture, you know, now, I mean, there's always going to be that kid that, like, when they walk out, you're like, he did not complete everything. There's no way. No friggin' way, you know. But now, instead of there being, like, 70% of those kids, there's, like, 3, you know. And I will let them kind of – I'll give them the benefit of the doubt until it just becomes blatantly obvious. And then I'll get rid of them. And I will approach their parents, or I'll approach them first. And I'll be like, I don't believe that you're getting your work done or whatever, you know. And of course, they're gonna. And then I will, if it's kind of borderline or iffy, I'll tell their parents. I'll be like, hey, little Johnny's wasting your money. And if they're okay with it, I'll let it fly. But then once it starts affecting the culture, you know, because that's your livelihood, I'm just like, man, you gotta go. This isn't working. So
yeah.
I've had to do that a couple times, and it's hard, but you know, it is what it is. So
for sure. So let me ask you this. You're a FIRE client?
Say that one more time.
So I have an expression. I actually picked this up from Joe D. He mentioned it on one of his podcasts back in the day about, like, you know, people fire trainers or coaches, right? You ever fire a client?
Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were really quick with that. You're like, shit, yeah, I did.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you have to, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't let people infect your culture. Like, you cannot do it. And it's going to happen. You know, there are going to be those kids that you're like, there is, like I said, there's no way that he's completing his reps. And I'll kind of let it fly and I'll pay attention to them a little bit. But when they start bringing other people with them, it's over. And, you know, or, you know, like I've had some guys that they were just disruptive, you know, like it was just a playhouse to them, you know. And part of that is on me. I want to create a fun environment. I'm definitely more of a kid than, you know, most grownups. But, you know, they have to understand when it's time to switch it on and off.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some of them that just never pick up on that.
It'll make us miserable too.
Yes, absolutely. You know, because I play hard, you know, when we're up here. But at the same time, I'm very serious about what we're doing. Like, we're laughing and joking all the time. But I'll laugh and joke with you as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
But I get really irritable when that stops happening.
Me,
you know?
Me too.
And I'll use humor to kind of bust them out at first. And I'll be like, oh, I guess we're just not doing anything today, you know. And if it consists, then I get a lot less humorous and very irritated. And we'll kind of go down that road. But, man, it just – if you will not put up – you know, if you – it's been a long time since I've had to get rid of somebody.
Yeah.
So put it that way, you know, because the culture is, it's really gotten good. I was telling my assistant the other day, like, this is, you know, I say she's my assistant. She's everything. Like, she keeps me in line, and, you know, she's my assistant. She's an assistant coach on the floor. I'm kind of an idea guy. I just wanted to kind of give her a shout out. Jackie's she keeps me rolling in the right direction. I'm kind of the big picture person. And she goes, okay, how are we going to make that happen? We can't just say it out loud and it'll poof. But anyways, I was telling her the other day, I was like, if you could have seen what it was like, you know, 3 years ago, you would not believe how controlled and to the point and how productive this session is, you know, compared, like, you know, there are times it gets a little rowdy in here, gets a little messy. It is nothing like it used to be. And, you know, it's just a big tribute to those kids, you know, the ones that have stuck around and, that have kind of grown up with us and they kind of lead by example. And it's just a really cool thing. And, you know, it's something that you're proud of. And it just, I credit and tribute to those, the core group of kids. They bought in and their parents have bought in, and, you know, I can't, you know, appreciate them enough for supporting us like that. And that's how it's done. You know, you have that nucleus.
Yep. So any leaving parting thoughts that you want to leave, you know, the listeners with, anything you'd like to, you know, put a bow on, you know, everything we just talked about, any last thoughts?
I was trying to think the other day.
I really just put you on the spot there. I'm sorry for that, by the way.
No, you know, when we were talking earlier, I had a drive earlier today, and that's when I do, you know, I ponder a lot of stuff.
Same here.
And there were two things that actually popped into my head, and I just picked up my phone and voice noted them in. And I touched on it earlier, but when you're talking, coaches are, you know, sometimes it seems like coaches are kind of, we want to explain the coach answer, especially strength coaches. We want to give the full out, you know, big word answer to stuff. And especially if you're going to work in, you know, the private sector where the kids are not stuck with you, you need to know when a person is genuinely interested and when you need to give them the Cliff Notes version, you know, because you will turn people off very quickly if you big league them with big words. It's annoying. It's douchebag, you know, like, they don't care, you know,
I agree with that.
Sounds so preposterous.
You have to know that they care before you sort of get all, you know, technical.
Yeah. And you and I, you know, we could sit here no telling how long and just go totally nerd on whatever part of the body, of muscle, you know, seeing all that stuff. They don't care, you know, and you really need to know. I came into contact with a coach not too long ago that just did not get this, and it was painful, you know, like I tried to explain to him once. He was talking about the reverse hyper, and somebody asked, like, what's this thing do, you know? And he basically started explaining lower back, and he used the word sacrum, you know, only so lower back. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, he's explaining this to 14-year-olds afterwards. And I pissed him off pretty bad, but I was just telling him the truth. I was like, look, you got to know your audience, man. When you said the word sacrum, I'm just going to tell you right now, those kids' brain, they were not listening anymore because their brain went sacrum, scrotum, sacrum. They don't know. They had to think. And I'm serious. Like,
no, you're right.
Words mixed up. You know what I mean? I'm just like, man, you got to know your audience. And I was like, look, when people ask me that, I'm like, dude, it makes your butt strong. Just trust me. And I leave it at that. And if they push, you know, I'm like, well, it's called your posterior chain. It's basically your lower back, your butt cheeks, and your hamstrings. And it is the powerhouse for everything you do. And usually nobody goes any farther than that. And that's really all they need to know. And, you know, like, that's just one of those things that you kind of got to know your audience. And then the other one that I was saying was that you have to understand that you can't, if you're really going to succeed in this business, don't get caught up in all the things that you think are stupid. Because there's a lot of them. And one of the main ones that I have noticed, and we kind of touched on this earlier, you need to be okay with, there are certain human behaviors that are going to annoy you. And one of them that doesn't really annoy me, but I've noticed that coaches really get annoyed with, the fact that, you know, it's pretty glaringly obvious that parents are really into announcing on social media that their child has received a quote offer from a college, which you and I both know means absolutely nothing until it's on paper. It's a verbal offer, and it's, you know, it really doesn't mean anything, but like kids and parents both are dying to post that on social media. And I get it. I totally do. Even though I'm kind of like, well, you know, it's really not that big a deal, but you know, and I, you know, we retweet it and all that, you know, we play along with them, but you have to get over the fact that, you know, you might think that's silly or, and just like, if I am able to provide that, you know, opportunity for them, it doesn't matter what I think about that. You know, it doesn't matter what I think about that behavior. I obviously helped their kid, and that's the bottom line. You got to stay focused on the bottom line. Don't get caught up in all the other stuff with it. You know, help that kid get an offer, you know, regardless of what you think about it, it doesn't matter. You know, focus on what you can control and pay attention to that. And then, you know, let all the other stuff kind of hash its way. Let all that stuff, instead of trying to fix everybody, you know, stay in your lane, fix what you know how to fix, you know, and help that kid achieve that. And then whatever they want to do, don't worry about it. That it annoys you. It's none of your business anyway. So, you know, like that's, I say that speaking because that's a lesson, a hard lesson that I've had to learn, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you gotta get past that. So.
For sure. No, I agree on that. I think that's, you know, a really good way of kind of tying all the loose ends up of everything we talked about, you know, just how to handle yourself and the importance of all that when it comes to business and how it all ties together. So I think that's, you know, beautifully said. And just want to thank you for coming on. I think that was just very informative. I'm excited. I haven't had, like I said, an episode that, you know, went that deep into the side of business with, you know, private sector stuff and coaching and how it all wraps together. So I appreciate your insight and thank you for taking the time to come on.
Yeah, man. No, it's no problem. You know, that is one of the other things I'll say in 30 seconds. I went up and I trained under Eric Cressy, who is like the grand poobah of all this stuff. You know, he's all knowing. And I came back and I tried to be Eric Cressy, and it was one of the biggest failures I've ever made in my career. Don't do that. Don't do that either. That's the other one that I'm be yourself, do your thing. And that was one of the biggest heartache moments I've had in 20 years of training kids is you need to do what you do and just use their information like a buffet instead of, you know, trying to drink it all down. So anyway, and I really appreciate you having me on, and it's been a lot of fun.
For sure. We'll definitely do this again soon. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, dude. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Muscles in Management brought to you by Challenger Strength. Tune in next week for the newest installment of the show that is changing how we view training, sports performance, and business.